Well, you see what happens when two families go on vacation? It really hurts the attendance, doesn't it? Well, I'm glad to see all of you. And I believe the Lord, as he's promised, that he'll be with us if two or three are gathered in his name. But first, let's have announcements concerning what's up for today and the rest of this week, the week the last week of October. Saturday is the 1st of November. It's really amazing, isn't it? Let me read first this missionary letter. This is a new couple and their family from India. And he's been here, and this is the second prayer letter that we received. October. Dear pastors, churches, and prayer partners, grace and peace to all of you in the wonderful name of Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ. Manifold are the blessings of God in shedding forth his gospel light on many a lost soul in this pagan land. By his grace, we've been able to venture once again into the hills and the jungles of northeastern Pradesh. That is from the 23rd of September to the 10th of October. The six churches that we have established there in the past have been eager to receive us, having waited for over 6 months for my return. We had a baptismal service in Kora Khanda, where I baptized over 40 believers. Wow. Our baptism took place in a river right across from the Hindu temple. The priests of the temple were not at least a bit pleased, because in India, Hindus consider the rivers to be sacred. And so after Korakanda, we went further towards the border of Orissa. Now, if you've been listening to news, Orissa, where there's a lot of persecution going on in India, towards the border of Orissa. There is much tumult in Orissa, and taking the gospel there is getting harder. 35 pastors were killed in this state over the past month, and also a Catholic nun was raped and killed. We were stopped and screened by the National Police Force as a security measure. Much animosity exists towards the gospel in Orissa. So our next trip in November is to visit our believers in two churches and Chalisgarh. Please pray for us. Amidst religious persecution and tumult, we praise the Lord for the joy and the victory that he gives in seeing many turn from their pagan gods to the true and the living God. I somehow believe that the gospel thrives better amidst conflict. I praise the Lord that his antidote for the wickedness of sin in this world is not the sword, but it's the cross, according to Romans 1:16. We continue to look to the Lord in regards to a stable mode of transportation, and hope that you folks are praying for this with us about this need. You know, traveling by foot and by public transportation can be unnerving at times, and as we become easy targets for the enemy. But it is assuring to know that our lives are in the safekeeping of a sovereign God. We thank you for your prayers and support, which give us strength as we serve the Lord in his service. Brother Joel Sarapalli and family. And indeed, we do pray for Joel and his family, and can plan to continue to do that. Now then, as I mentioned last Lord's Day, Timothy Omer was in an accident in his employment and passed away this afternoon at 3 o'clock. There's a memorial service for him in Lewisburg. And if you want to know where the church building is, you know where you go to the Reformed Baptist Church. Some of you know that. It's Route 192 as you go into Lewisburg, Route 15. Look for 192. Take a right and go out there about a mile and a half on the right-hand side. A beautiful building. It's at 3 o'clock is the service. And then this evening at 7 o'clock, we have request time. You select the hymns. And tonight, Brother Raymond Rook is going to be with us. He's a Bible teacher from Milton. And he says, I plan to study in the book of Job. He's starting a series in the book of Job, and he says, I plan to study tonight in the book of Job. Wednesday night is our Bible study, and I want to continue the next five sins. This morning we have five to consider, the next five sins in Colossians 3, verses 8 through 11, after which we have prayer meeting where the men and the boys pray together and the women and the girls pray together separately. Then I want to make a note concerning Friday the 30th. And that's Halloween. And, you know, Christians are gullible about a lot of things. And some of them think it's all innocent and the stress of death and destruction. And you really ought to just pick up an encyclopedia, not take some preacher's word for it. Just pick up any kind of encyclopedia and look under Halloween. And you'll find out that it's not just playtime and just trying to scare somebody. The factor of it is it's the largest pagan holiday. The matter is the Satanists and the satanic movement in our country, which is not small. It's their high day. And these things that are going on have a deeper significance. If you're interested, look it up, and you'll find out that Halloween, which is now the second most profitable holiday in the United States. So they must be buying a lot of these things and costumes and so on. Just check an encyclopedia for your own edification. But I must say to you that we're not to have anything to do with the darkness. We're to come out from among them. And there is a place where one has to say, hey, this significance is more than just little children's things. So, I guess I could elaborate on that, but I'm going to leave it there. I want to get into the worship service. Will you sing with me, I Will Sing of My Redeemer, is 681.
Suffered from the curse to set. chose that hymn because it talks about how to have victory that he gave us
over sin and death and hell. Now the next hymn has something along that same line, number 483. Christian, dost thou see them? 483. Perhaps you'd like to turn to the front of the hymnal because there are two different ways the Lord's Prayer is written. And some churches use the one translation and the others use the other. This is the one we use in Roman numeral 12 in the front of the hymn book. It's one of those days, maybe, friends. But let's enter into prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, please be seated. That last hymn, it encouraged us that the powers of darkness, they rage thy steps around. And so it says, Christian, up and smite them. That word smite is to kill, put to death. Christian, up and smite them, counting gain but loss in the strength that cometh by the Holy Cross. He says, Christian, do you see them? Do you feel them? Do you hear them? Do you hear the words of the Lord Jesus? That's what that last hymn was all about. Now this next hymn, we're to sound a battle cry against these besetting sins, 686.
Sound the
at that scripture verse at the top of that page of 686. For it is the Spirit of God who gives us the taking away of these fleshly sins. When the scripture even says here in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 59:19, that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's part of what we want to emphasize this morning also. Now then, I thought if the time didn't get away from us, we'd use another hymn, brother. It's 491. It's not on the board. 491. Yes. Let us turn to Colossians, the third chapter. That hymn reminds us that, you know, you can worship other things other than the Lord God. And some of these sins are here and they're destructive and you can get to worshiping them. So, a rather shocking thing to be heard in a church that we are to kill. That's shocking to me. But when you see what we're to kill, that may not be so shocking to you. And that is this matter of fleshly sins. And here we are. May I remind you that Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, it was his procedure when he would write a letter to church or church or churches, that he would give, first of all, a doctrine, theological background, a good foundation. And after having received foundational work in the Spirit of God, he said, all right, in light of that now, let's see what we need to do about this that we say we know these truths. So in this third chapter, he starts out by saying, if, and that's not an assumption, it is quite thorough that then, since you be risen, why, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Verse 1, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on the things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now watch these. Next three verses. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye lived in them. Let's pray. Our Father, we're grateful this morning for the privilege of a day whereby we can come together as a congregation and spend some time singing hymns and praises to you, and that you may be lifted up. And our Father, we're asking that your pleasure be upon us, though we be few in number, that we're told in your word, despise not the day of small things. And so may we realize that you are also in matters that are small, maybe insignificant to the world. We have a task this morning to look at your precious word, because it is your very word. And you have it for us and for our instruction in righteousness. And so we're asking this morning that thy Spirit, the Spirit of God, would take the word of God, press it home to our hearts, that we might understand what it means to have victory, that we might understand that it is our task and this warfare with the flesh and the devil in the world, that we can be victorious by the help of thy Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit of God, may your pleasure be upon us. We're also mindful of the needs of this day. We are asking for the Omer family as they had a memorial service for Timothy, and that your power and blessing be upon them, and the comfort and help and encouragement. And may they acquiesce to your sovereign purposes in the matter of Timothy and his death. I pray for his family, especially. Help the wife and the children. And then our Father, as we've heard from Joel Sarapali in India, and he has needs, and we're asking for him as he goes about and in dangerous areas. We ask for protection for him and for his wife. May your blessing be upon the ministry there. Help him make the decision whether he should take part-time work or whether he should come back to the States and try to find some more money. We pray that you would guide him in this matter. Once again, Lord, for us as a church, we ask for your blessing and for the glory of our Lord Jesus, and not for ourselves. In his precious name we pray. Amen. You know, this matter of killing fleshly sins, how do you really deal with besetting sins? You say, well, Christians don't have besetting sins. Where you been? You know, we're in the body. And we have that old nature around yet, in case you think you're perfect. I haven't seen any of you walk in water. Some of us have been together 45 years or so. Haven't seen any of you walk in water. You haven't seen me walk in water. We have the old nature, which is called the Bible, the flesh. Now, it doesn't mean this. Although we're in this, it doesn't mean flesh. It means the old nature that we receive from our sinning parentage, Adam and Eve. They were perfect. And then they sinned. And because of the process of posterity, we also have the sinful nature. And so, how do you conquer? How do you conquer sinful habits? And you know, it's easy to dilly-dally around these matters. And when you do, you'll find that they're very strong, and you're bound for trouble. So, well, I know that. All right. It doesn't hurt to repeat some things. Some of us are kind of slow at learning, I guess, even if we have gray hair. When you dilly dally with some of these things, you can get hurt. And you know, the Bible says that spiritual maturity is normalcy. You're supposed to be growing. Not supposed to be just staying around not doing anything spiritually. You're supposed to be stronger in the Lord. Say, well, I want to be. Good. Yeah, but there are some things. Yep, we know about some things. And the Bible says here, you know, some of you did this. Verse 7, in case you didn't see that verse. You know, you don't once walk, you say, well, I've got victory over a lot of things. Amen. That's the way to be if you have growth. But there's still war going on. It isn't peacetime. It's wartime. And it says, you know, in the which ye also walk sometimes. It used to be the practice of some of these sins. You were once addicted to them. You say you can't get addicted. You can get addicted to fleshly sins. And he said that you were, and when you lived in them, used to live that sort of life. He used to. I like that. He used to say, well, they aren't all gone yet. No, you're not dead yet either. You haven't been glorified yet. And we're all different. You'll find it as you grow older. We are different. You know, he made a procedure here for us that it is a matter of the heart. And if the heart isn't right, the inward isn't right, then don't expect the externals to be right. The inward has to be right. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is in you, don't hope that you're going to see heaven, and don't hope that there's going to be a lot of victory. Now, I always have to say this because it's true. Certain people have enough of stamina to say, I quit smoking, I quit drinking, and I quit this. I didn't have to have the Lord to help me, I just did it. Oh, good for you. But let me ask you something. Is that all there are of problems like that? There are some deep problems, internal problems. And some of these are not very evident, even as we're going to look at this morning. They're internal. But they have a, you know, he said, you know, you died with Christ. He said to the church at Colossae. And he said to us, you've died with Christ. In other words, he said, I want you to see this in case you can't see it. He said, I died on the cross and you died there also. I took your sins. I took your place. It was you that was on the cross. You've died on the cross. Now you're dead. You say, well, I'm still alive. Yes, you're in the flesh. But you've got to remember that there is, you've died to these things. You just say, well, I can't do anything about it. It's just the way I am. I have that tendency that's been passed on to me, my pop and my dad. Hey, come on. You're now a Christian. You've not only died, but he says in chapter 3, you've been risen with Christ. In verse 1, you've been raised to life. You're not dead in trespasses and sin anymore. You've been raised to life with Christ. You're partakers of Christ's resurrection. Now get on these things. You say, well, I need some help with it. You got to get some foundational work before we get into it. You know, some people think it's wrong to be negative. Man, I don't understand that. Nor invincible appeal, positive thinking, the power of it. Yeah, yeah. And that's, there's areas of being positive. I'm for it. We speak about the glory of the Lord and of our Lord Jesus. Positive, yes. But there's also a negative aspect that's important for us to understand. Here it is. These are negatives. You want to throw them out? No. I want some help over them. Okay. And there's a key word here in verse 5. That's the first word of verse 5. And it's mortify. You know what a mortician does, don't you? Yeah. Takes care of dead bodies. Funerals. That's right. Has to do with death. Now, we're to put to death these members, these earthward inclinations, the earthly nature is to be put to death. And you're to be a mortician. And you're to be treated as dead. The word mortification, which is a theological term which doesn't hurt you to understand. Mortification, sanctification, salvation, that's not hard. Mortification actually means literally putting sin to death. We're talking about mortification. Killing fleshly sins. Putting to death. Mortification means put to death. Kill them. Wow. John Owen said, if you don't kill sin, or it will kill you. Oh, really? That's right. If you don't kill it, it'll kill you. It'll get you. If certain diseases, the doctor will say to you, well, eventually it'll get you. You might as well face it. Talk about positive thinking and negative thinking. How would you go to a doctor? The doctor gives you an examination. He says, afterward, he says, well, I got to tell you this. Something's going on inside of you. Yeah. And I don't want you to worry about it. Look on the bright side. Have a beautiful day. So, what's going on here? Have a good day. He said, something's going on inside of me. I knew there was something wrong. And he says, don't worry about it. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Look on the bright side of life. Have a good day. No, Doc. If something's going on in here, I'll go to someone else and he'll tell me the truth. You want to hear the truth? You got to hear the positive side. You got to hear the negative side. You got to have both of them. I don't like the negative. Doc, be honest with me. Used to be that when I was a young preacher, we had to lie to people about their condition. Doctor wouldn't tell them the truth. Tell the family. I got in trouble one time. He said, now, don't you tell mother. Don't tell mother anything about her cancerous condition. So I'm in there visiting mom. And she says, you know, I have a real problem, don't I? Everybody says, I'm getting better. Even the doctors, in the old days, the doctors say, you're going to be all right. You'll be all right. I said, no, honey, you've got problems. I left the beans out of the bag. The family got on my case and said, we told you not to say anything to mom. I said, all right, I'm not going to lie. So sometimes you pay a price if you speak negatively, honestly, about matters. I want us to see this morning where we are. If you've been delivered, as it says here, from sin's reign, and we are. Now listen, friends, listen to this. When the Lord Jesus died and took my place, and we've come to know him by repentance and faith, sin has no longer a reign over us. We were once under the kingdom of darkness, but now we're in the kingdom of light of his dear Son. Sin has no longer reign on us. We're no longer slaves to sin. Yeah, well, that sounds good. But we still are in the presence of sin. We're still in the presence of sin. And you know what? We have a fleshy nature that can forget about verse 7. We somehow kind of use these things secretly. You know, sin, the reason sin is so popular, it's pleasurable. Oh, I know the consequences of it. Hangovers, pregnancy, I know all. Abortions, all those other things. It's true. But there's pleasures. There's pleasures of sin for a season. Who are you going to kid? Well, we're not free from the presence of sin, friends. Here you are. You're not free from the presence of sin. That's where we are. You got to know where you are. These five sins here in verses 5 and further. These five sins we're going to look at this morning a little bit. And they're tough ones because it has to show us that there's a war going on. And this war where the Bible speaks about the flesh lust against the soul. Oh, well, you got a cross reference? Can you go back to Romans chapter 8, a cross reference? You say, well, what do you go back there for? Well, that is scripture compared with scripture. Now, in the 8th chapter of Romans, this is a glorious chapter, by the way, wonderful chapter, we look at the 8th chapter in verse 12 and 13 as a cross-reference. What do you mean? Well, now they help us to understand where we are and this matter of a battle, a war going on in us. For it says, verse 12, writing to the church at Rome, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You see, there's this whole idea that the lower nature doesn't have any claim upon us. What do you mean? The sinful nature has no claim upon us. I'm not debted to the sinful nature. The Lord Jesus died in my place. I've been freed from the sins. I'm not no longer in debt to my lower nature. That's what it says. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But it is through the Spirit that do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, let's spend a little time there. I don't have a duty to my flesh. I'm talking about the old nature. And now with this flesh that you feel here, you got to feed that, take care of it, you know, keep it clean, trimmed and all that. Yeah, I'm not talking about bodily flesh. I'm talking about the sinful nature that we receive when they fell from the Garden of Eden and passed on down to us. We don't owe anything. We owe nothing to our earthly nature, friends. Don't think you got a baby. We don't owe it anything. As brethren. For, you know, if you're gonna treat it that way and think that it still has a claim upon us, is what it's going to do is this. If you live after the flesh, under the control of the physical, according to the flesh, he said, you're going to die. Well, we know that. You're on the road to death. We know that is our plight. We're on the road to death. It's because of sin. Sure it is. I'm dying. You're dying. But if just go on living according to the flesh, see, I can't help it. I just in that way. No, no, no. He said, you're dying. But I like this last part of verse 13 of chapter 8. Isn't that a wonderful part? Amen. It says, but if ye through the Spirit, capitalize S means the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, it's through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body. There you got it. It's the power of the Spirit of God. And you put an end to these evil habits. Boy, tell me more. These base pursuits of the body. The Spirit helps you put them to death. So I want to go out to kill. All right, go to go kill. Then remember this. You're going to kill these fleshly sins. It is gone by the means of the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean you just sit back and say, you know, it's all the Spirit of God. No, no. Remember David and Goliath? Did he sit back and say, well, boys, it looks to me the battle's all over. You guys aren't big enough to handle him. I guess we'll just take it easy. God will take care of it, you know. God will do it. No. God put it upon the heart of David. Just take those goonies. That's what we used to call them, stones. We used to call them goonies. Took those goonies with him. When he put that in his sling, buddy, don't you remember, God was in that. And he swung that thing around and left it going, bam, that was it. It was through God. God, the Spirit of God, not your background, not you and your smarts, God, but you're a son of God through faith in Christ. You have Christ, you have His Spirit, He resides in you, the Comforter resides in you, and you can have victory. Don't be looking at me like I'm talking something that's strange. This is something that we need to deal with. It's a battle going on. This is not a time of peace. Time of war. I was up at the plaza, Radio Shack. No, it wasn't Radio Shack. What's the store next to it? Staples. I pulled my car in there. Oh, here comes nice, five big nice chaps. And they walked around. And they got in their car. They had their badges on. They had their uniforms on. National Guard boys. And I said, hey, boys, you look good. I thought to myself, you fellas look good. Strong, healthy young men. There's a war going on. And a thought came to me, which was utter strange. Those boys have the power to kill when they go to war. That gun that they have, those boys can put a gun in their hand, and they've been trained, and they know how to shoot. And I want to tell you something. They do have power. Now, we sing Onward Christian Soldiers so piously. We also have power. We have the capability of mortification, which means we can kill by the power of the Spirit of God. Our Spirit of God is that, what do you want to call it, our weapon, our gun. But we are involved in it. You're not sleeping somewhere. You're to be in battle. Onward, Christian soldiers. Sound the battle cry, we sing this morning. There's a real thing going on in here. Well, it's important to identify sins. What do you mean? It's important that it be identified. There's no excuse for walking around and say, well, I don't know. I don't know what that means. One time, I was at my wife's home, and they had Bible reading after they had the meal, which was new to me. I wasn't raised in a religious home. And the oldest daughter, she read this passage. I remember it clearly. They had to read passages, and Mary Jane read this. I remember it clearly because she said, what does concupiscence mean? She's a school teacher by background. I didn't know then. Do you know what it means? It's important that we understand what this is all about. She was just a teenager then. She wanted to know what it was all about. By the way, before I get into this, we don't usually raise hands around here. Did any of you ever, ever, ever kill a snake, poisonous or non-poisonous? Would you raise your hand? Did you ever kill a snake? Peggy, you never killed a snake? Bless you. Whew, we all stressed up that. Remember that? My mother didn't like snakes. She passed it on to me. And she'd go crazy about snakes in the garden. Oh, take a hole and chop it. Yeah. Kill it, kill it. So I'd kill even these garter snakes. I've learned since, don't kill those garter snakes. They take care of slugs and bugs and so forth. If you know the difference, you got to know how to identify snakes. I didn't say you should let the rattlesnakes and be around in the garden. Did I say that? I didn't say that. I got grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I don't wear rattlesnakes around here. If they happen to step in the rattlesnake's way, they'll nail it. No, no. I'll kill rattlesnakes, but I'll let garter snakes go. What's the point? The point is this. Remember when you killed that snake? Remember how it kept moving? Come on now. Go back. Remember you took a picture. I took a picture. That thing kept moving. I cut its head off with a hoe, and it still kept swarming. Yeah. I want to tell you something. Some of these sins are just like that. What do you mean? They're hard to kill. They're hard to kill. I've been a hunter, not just for the sports, but for raising seven kids. I enjoyed it, though. It was fun to hunt. And I killed. I'm not a killer. I know I didn't like to see that, but it's important. I remember several occasions, which it won't go. I'll tell you one that really is vivid. When I came down here to raise family and had to do extra work in order to preach, I used to raise all kind of animals. I had beef. I had pigs. Yep. And so we had some pigs, and we kept this one mother pig for quite a while. And she's getting big and big and getting old. And so I contacted the man who processed, and I said, hey, I have this pig I'd like to have it slaughtered. He said, well, shoot it and bring it up. You can shoot a pig, can't you? I said, well, I've shot animals. Killed a lot of chickens and so on. Just shoot it and bring it up. Sounded like it easy to me. So I left her out in the barnyard. Now, hold on to your chair. I'm not speaking posies to you now. And so I had my .22. And she wasn't too strange, and bam, I knew where to shoot. I saw it many, many times back on the farm. I'm not stupid. I know where to shoot. She just shook her head. And now that didn't work. So quickly, another fire. She shook her head. Now I know where the brain is. I'm shooting where the brain is. I don't know how many times, and my kids are somewhere watching. I think Dad even saw this, and I thought, boy, something's got to be wrong here. And she just shake her head a little bit and run around the barnyard. This can't be. This can't be. How dumb can you get? I wasn't dumb. She was hard to kill. So I got myself my .38 revolver. Now then, that settled it. One shot. Some things are hard to kill. They say the largest animals are the hardest to kill. A water buffalo is supposed to be very dangerous. Crocodiles. Polar bears. They're hard things to kill. I'm talking to you this morning seriously that the Greek of this is saying these things are hard to kill. We're not talking child play. We're not talking Sunday school stuff. These are hard things. I got that point across, didn't I? That means we got to get serious. You got to get serious. I got to get serious. We're in a warfare. We got some sins that they'll ruin us. You say, but you're talking to Christians. Those of you profess to know Christians, I don't know your hearts, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you've turned from your sins and trusted Christ. But I am saying this to you. The Bible is saying to Christians, the church at Colossae, that these are things that we need to be careful about and deal with. They need to be mortified. They need to be killed. And get your 38 or whatever it takes. Let's get the job done. The Spirit of God. Well, what is it? Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. That is your lower earthly inclinations. You know about that. Kill them. Put them to death. Now, what are these inclinations that we have a tendency to go about? The first one is fornication. And by the way, that, I believe, is probably the external. Fornications had to do with the externals. The rest of them had to do with internals. Get the difference? So you say, well, if you're going to talk to us about fornication, we know what that is. We've been to school, and we know that what the Bible teaches us. I lost my notes. Fornication. I know what that word means. You say it means young people that aren't married. Well, I know Webster says that, but we're not talking to Daniel Webster. We're looking at the Word of God. This word, fornication, is porneia. It means all kinds of sins. I did. You know, Daniel Webster did a beautiful job, but we're not, it goes further than that. It involves that. All kinds of sins. Well, like what? You name it. Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, anything you can think of. What can you think of? So I don't want to think about any of it. Well, be real. Because the moment you turn the TV on, listen to the radio, see a magazine, or if you use the internet, you're going to hit some pornography, you say, well, the whole world's just crazy. It's saturated with sexual immorality. That's the word! That's it. I must tell you this, because there's some Christians that kind of have the idea, well, my member of the family, they're shacking out together. So that's the way they're being taught today. That's, hey, that's where young folk are. I mean, you old guys just got accepted. And so we just don't like it, but she's shacking out with another man. They're living together, and what are you going to do about it? It's, you know, when I read the Word of God, I believe me because I left my notes someplace, is this business of, it's really troubling. And I think it's in the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. It says, you know, If you say that, I'm in 1 Corinthians, if you want to go there, it's chapter 6. I'm looking at verse 9 and 10, maybe 11. 1 Corinthians 6, and so verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What's that mean? It seems that they're just not going to make it to heaven. What? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, you have no share in God's kingdom. That means you won't make it to heaven. Well, why not? Well, be not deceived. Don't be misled. All right, I don't want to be. Neither fornicators. Oh, there's that word. Is it the same word? It might be, as you might understand it, young folk living together, shacking out together. Well, all right, I'll accept that. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Since such were some of you, but ye were washed, ye were sanctified, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God. Now, friends, let's just look at it face value. What is it saying? It say, listen, honey, you go do it that way. I got to tell you something. You won't have part of God's kingdom. Oh, my mom, everybody does it. How are we doing it? Yeah, the Bible says, if you go that route, you're not gonna. Don't expect that you're gonna just go to heaven. Just because your mommy is a Christian, your dad is a Christian, or so and so. He said, don't be deceived about it. Look at verse 9. Don't be deceived. Say, oh, I think that it's our. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. Anybody who lives in that type of situation, make no mistake about it. And it gives a whole list of them. Boy, look at all those perversions. And he said, even down there to the matter of those who are greedy and those who get drunk, slanders and swindlers. He said, I know some of you at Corinth were that way. That's the way it used to be. But now he said, remember, your sins have been washed away through the blood of Christ. And he says, you are sanctified. You're set apart. The word sanctified, you're set apart to God. And you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God has done all this for you. Does that cause me to tremble? Yeah. Why? Oh, somebody's not doing their job. It's becoming more prevalent, and people are saying, well, boys will be boys, girls will be girls. It's always been that way. Yeah, it's right. But the Word of God speaks expressly about it. You say, well, I mind my own business. Who told you that? Ann Landers. Oh, you mean Ann Landers is more powerful than what God says? You go along with Ann Landers? She says, mind your own business. If my beloved, part of my flesh, is doing that and doesn't have God's blessing upon them and may go to hell, and I stand around like an old grandpap and not say anything, I'll tell you, brethren, I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account, and so will you. So will you. Say, well, that they'll be turned off and they won't ever hear any more about the preaching of the gospel, preacher, if you tell them that. Better you tell them the truth. You stand before the Lord. Will you stand there ashamed? Say, well, Lord, I didn't want to lose my granddaughter, my grandson. I didn't want to lose any of their love. You know what? What is love? Real love is to tell the truth. I know. You say, well, why are you doing this? Listen, where are we? Where are we as Christians? What needs to be dealt with? What's the big deal here? And I had to go back to Colossians chapter 3. The first one is all kinds of immorality is fornication. I said that's the external, that's the doings outwardly. But oh, these other ones are inwardly. You won't see these. And Christians, you can have these. And nobody's going to know it except the Bible says he knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. God sees us. Thou, God, seest me. You may not see it. But uncleanness. He said, oh boy, uncleanness. That means impurity. You don't see that if it's inward. Eyes full of lust and adultery. Inordinate affection. Now that is, in other words, I guess I use the talk, you can be dirty minded. That's what that word means. There it is, uncleanness. You can have a dirty mind. And then inordinate affection, that has to do with an uncontrolled, inordinate means uncontrolled passion. A lust. I told you it's inward. That which is in comes out. I understand that. But these are inward things. And these are things that are hard to kill. It's like that snake that just seems to keep squirming around. They're hard to kill. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence, which means an evil desire. That's what concupiscence means, desire. Unholy desire. Which goes together with covetousness. That means a desire, say. Well, you know, that man's wife looks real good. That woman's husband, he's pretty sharp. Boy, he's sharp. May never tell anybody that. But that's what it's talking about right here. I'm telling you that this can happen. That is, concupiscence has that unholy, a desire that's unholy, evil. And not only that, covetousness. And that's simply lusting what other people have. Say, boy, new car. Wow. Man, be nice to have a new car. Got this. And he says, you know, you got to be careful. That's you got to be satisfied with what you have. Take care of it if you can, you know. But it can lead to idolatry. How in the world can those things lead to idolatry? Well, if you spend most of your time, awakening time, in this realm of these five sins, it can be that which really controls your life, and that's idolatry. Wow. Please, tell me that's just for lost people. Don't tell me that has to do with Christians. Yeah, I'm telling you that it can happen to Christians. You see, the Lord wants physical holiness. Got to get serious about some of these things. I'm supposed to be put to death. I'm supposed to kill. And by the power of the Spirit of God, it can be this. Days like they had back then are still around town. I tell you, you hear about affairs. You hear about business trips, businessmen going on business trips and conventions, magazines all over the place, internet pornography. If you have an internet, that's one thing you're going to have to deal with. There's controls, but the best control is God helping you. He says we're to kill them or they'll kill you. They'll destroy you. I'll give you an ugly example. Take one of those sins by the throat. So that thing is getting too far in my thinking. I'll take that thing, God help me, choke that thing to death. I'll choke it, I'll keep choking. He said, you may choke it a long time because it has a way with the old nature. It's not child's play. Say, well, it's got to die. I've been choking this thing now for a period of time. Keep choking it. Keep choking it. Because if you don't kill it, with the enabling of the Spirit of God, it'll kill you. Verse 6. Just in case you think, oh, I don't think it's so serious. I don't think we have to get so rattled about it. Look at verse 6. It says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. On account of these very sins. that I didn't even want to read to you. God's anger, his wrath, his dreadful judgment is impending. And his wrath, his vengeance, will be on unbelievers. Oh, well, I'm spared then. I'm a believer. That's right. You'll be spared. That's wonderful to be a believer. But I got to tell you something. Believers need to realize that they're unbelievers and their people are dying. And they need to be told the good news that Christ died for sinners. If you'll turn from your sins and trust him, you can have everlasting life, eternal life. And you hear the great judge of all see you stand before him. And he looks at you and he says, then what is your reason to think that you'll have any place in my kingdom? And I hear a voice behind him saying, this is my beloved son in whom I died for, Father. And the Father says, not guilty. That's beautiful to hear the Bible speak about justification by faith. And by the way, today is referred to as Reformation Day. Reformation Day had to do with Martin Luther pasting those things on the door that we're justified by faith, not by our works. And when we see Christ die for us, and we stand before the judge of all, he'll declare us not guilty. That's glorious. And brethren, if you love the Lord Jesus and you love people and you have the right kind of passion, don't think that you have nothing to do. You have a job to do as well as I have to do. How are you doing? You say, you sound like you kicked a few more tires this morning. Yeah, that's a great subject, mortification. That's a terrific subject. You say, well, is that the answer? Yeah, that's the answer. Well, I don't understand it yet. Hey, listen. If you don't understand it, don't be surprised. It's a great subject. Perhaps we ought to spend a little more time, the Lord willing, we'll look at the next five on Wednesday. And so with that, I think it'd be nice to sing a hymn I believe has application to the whole subject. And that 708 about dying, the matter of death, the matter of killing, and the matter of life in the Lord Jesus. 708 is the hymn, Dying with Jesus, My Death Reckoning Mine, Living with Jesus. It's a great hymn. It goes along, 708 goes along with the subject, I believe.
Moment by moment, O Lord, I
We're grateful, Lord, that whatever the circumstances are, that with your people, the believers, you're with them. You never leave them nor forsake them. Thank you for this great comfort and truth. Now, our Father, we pray for help. And, Lord, we ask again and again, we need help. And as we walk in this world, the ungodliness, people who know not Christ, they know not the Word of God, help us to be faithful servants. May we realize that we're citizens of heaven. May we realize that we're ambassadors for Christ, and that we might take our ambassadorship seriously and talk about heaven, salvation, and the Lord Jesus. Now, our Father, this that we talked about this morning, we pray that you would help us to grasp. And only by your Spirit can we depend upon that. And so now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Turn to that hymn, because that's such precious words that you play. Would you play it again? 316, isn't it? Please, it's such a beautiful hymn for closing. Would you turn with me as he plays it and look at those precious words? Thank you, brother, for that. Thank you. Second stanza at last. You may want to keep 316 in mind as he plays that in our postlude. Now it is our custom, as you know, to have input, questions perhaps, or something you would add to encourage us, help us along. Yes, he's writing to Church of Colossae.
And it seems like all them things listed underneath there, it's like
Well, if you're saying they were guilty.
All them list of sins that we're to stay away from.
Yes.
It's exactly what the rest of the world is looking for.
Yeah, they do.
And enjoying every day.
Yes. He warns us that if we're not careful and if we don't kill them, they can ruin us. It's not child's play, is it, Tom? But there's hope because we have the Spirit of God. Amen.